Get set. Your walk-up start to the weekend's racing. Get set. Labelling the good things around Australia. As our expert panel analyse the weekend's major meetings and label the best bets. Get set on Radio Tab.
Well, on Get Set, let's go straight to Melbourne. And, of course, the big meeting at Caulfield, normally run at Sandown, as we know, but Caulfield this year. And Dean Lester joining me this morning for Get Set. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good, thank you.
I think we're both still getting our heads around this meeting being at Caulfield rather at Sandown, particularly with some of the gallopers, raced at this day last year at Sandown.
Exactly right. Tosi Bond having won the Eclipse last year, and as you said, several of the runners lining up again. But, we had this situation in 2013 when the meeting was at Caulfield. It was a very good meeting, but it's a different style of track, and I think that's the thing you've got to get your head around. You try and envisage how races are run, and at Sandown, most of the starts are long runs for the first turn, and the big long straight of over 500 metres on the hillside. Caulfield's a different scenario; it's a lot more busy, and slight changes in distances, especially say for a race like the Kevin Heffernan from 13 to 1400. So it's just getting our head around it. I think we'll have to get our head around it every year. I suspect this won't be a one-off.
No, and of course, a lot of talk about Sandown. They raced there during the week. And overall, how do you think the fields have held up? Of course, being out of its traditional slot and the restructuring of the end of spring and summer carnival, start of summer carnival.
Yeah, the handicapping ratings would suggest the meeting's down a touch on previous years, but it's better than I thought it was going to be. And you can just see that there's been a few horses held over and biding their time and probably waiting for this meeting, which is a good thing that at least that it was acknowledged by the trainers that it was on a bit later and they might have just brought their horses, just that the right sort of horses for this sort of meeting.
And, of course, Caulfield's staying there, of course. The plans are there to build an inner track, but it's been an emotional week for some of the trainers there because it's official now and a lot of trainers, of course, departing and now is a training centre there at Caulfield.
Yeah, the last bit of training will be done in the next couple of days. The last gallops have been done for sure and the biggest stables that were left there, Price and Kent Jr. And Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace, they're relocating. Well, Dave Eustace and Kieran Maher are all over the place, but they've got more stabling on course at Cranbourne that's just been finished, and Graham Begg's gone to Cranbourne, and Colin Little and Matt Lindsay to Pakenham, and John Sadler to Pakenham. So, it's certainly that's all down the Eastern Corridor as well. So, the beneficiaries there certainly are the training centres of Cranbourne and Pakenham to get those elite trainers, and they are elite trainers to their centres.
Yeah, but no doubt a heap of memories there in that trainers tower there at Caulfield. But let's look at the meeting, and where would you like to start?
I'm going to go with a couple of the feature races. I'm going to go race 6, the Sandown Guineas. And I said a theme of my day is the horses that are on relatively fresh legs, and I think a horse like Cardinal Gem in the Sandown Guineas fits that bill perfectly. He ran well in the Blue Sapphire first up. I thought he was terrific on the final day behind Ben Denis at Flemington in the springtime stakes. Now goes to 1,600 metres, which I think looks ideal. He's drawn a lovely gate, and I just think he hits this race at the right time of his campaign, and he's a nice horse going through the grades, and I think this is a really good stepping stone for Cardinal Gem to win his second race, race 6, number 6, Cardinal Gem.
Race 6, number 6. Just quickly, how do you weigh up the form of the New South Wales Galloper Festival Dancer?
Well, she's done a great job. She's had 9 runs in the preparation, and it took her to about her 6th run of the campaign to win a race, and then she's just gone bang and won 4 in a row. I loved her win at Newcastle last start. It was a solidly run race, and she did it well, and she's going to make her own luck here, and I think she's the logical danger. But, and I really trust Maddie Smith as a good traveller of horses. But, it is another challenge to come down here deep into a preparation.
Okay, race 6, number 6 for you. Before going to your second special, just a quick thought on the Zipping Classic and the reappearance of Spanish Mission.
Yeah, if it was at Sandown, I'd just say he'll win and win easily. The vagaries of Caulfield, I don't think they will bring him undone, and it could be the fairy tale farewell for Glenn Boss, and I think it probably will be. I think Damien Oliver will be trying to upset the party on Warning. Warning had most of the main dangers here in the race covered in the Queen Elizabeth, so I think he'll beat them again, and I think he'll probably take up the running. He rode the horse very positively when he went in the Derby a couple of years ago, and Nashua Willa showed what you can do on Warning last start, mixing up the tempo and making it a bit of a test. But ultimately, I think Spanish Mission's a superior horse and should be winning.
Yeah, that's race seven, the Zipping Classic. But your second special, last event of the day.
Yeah, down to the Kevin Heffernan this year at 1,400 metres. And, gee, that suits I Am Superman perfectly, race nine, number seven. His two runs, he ran well in one of the lead-ups to the Everest in the Classic Legend. He didn't have much luck. That's just fantastic form for a race like this. He's had one go up to 1,400 metres at Caulfield for a win. Key to him is he just needs dry ground. He's going to get that. He's got a great draw. He's got good speed in front of him, courtesy of the likes of Streets of Avalon, Age of Chivalry, Crosshaven, Sir Coney. They'll provide a really good gallop, and that probably enables him to set the race up well, get to the centre of the track, and I think he'll steam home and win the last race. Nine, number seven, I Am Superman.
So your two specials there, race six, number six, Cardinal Gem and the Sandown Guineas, and then race nine, number seven, I Am Superman. You're a Superman anyway, of course, and good luck at the meeting at Caulfield there.
Thanks, Andrew.
There he is, Dean Lester. Well, of course, we still press ahead with our thoughts for the Gold Coast for tomorrow and to look at that meeting at Michael Maxworthy. But I know, Max, it's been an emotional week for you. Of course, we had that sad passing of Peter Baleson, of course, throughout the week.
Yeah, last week. And thanks to Nicole Luke, who worked for Peter for many, many years, and also the Gold Coast Turf Club. There was a little bit of a gathering at the Gold Coast Turf Club yesterday for Pete. There were some terrific stories told, plenty of laughter, which Peter would have loved. And, we had a pretty good afternoon there yesterday. So we've lost a very, very good horseman and just a wonderful person. But, a pretty good day yesterday. Just a shame that Peter was equally as popular in and around Sydney, in particular at Rose Hill and Warwick Farm, and obviously due to travel restrictions, those folk couldn't come up. But nevertheless, it was a good day yesterday.
Yeah, well remembered and well spoken as always there, Michael. And, you're doing your wet track form, of course, for tomorrow at this stage. What are we coming up with?
Well, that's the question. I mean, well, look, we're none the wiser, are we? You've had the weather forecaster on and Steve Andrews, and it looks as though we've got to wait until tomorrow morning. Yeah. But it sounds like no matter what, it's going to be an H10. So I think doing the form, first and foremost, try and find those horses that have got proven heavy track form. The fitter, the better. The lighter the weights, the better. So that's the tactic at the moment. I haven't done the form thoroughly. I'm going to wait until early tomorrow morning and see what the scratchings are doing overnight, because no doubt there's going to be a lot of them should the meeting go ahead. But hopefully we can find a few winners. It's just such a great meeting for Tattersalls. The recognition stakes card tomorrow, but we can't do anything about the weather. Already we've got four scratchings out of the recognition stakes: Gem Song, Tambo's Mate, Tumbler Ridge, and More Than Number One. More Than Number One being reserved for another race. And the wet track form, we know Nicanova is a bit of a duck. The Herovians had one go on a heavy and one, but it was a heavy eight in Cairns. He did get through the ground pretty good in the All-Star Mile. They're saying it was a seven, but I think most of us believe it was worse than that. But he's first up 1,400 metres. I understand he's had a lot of work and a lot of trials and gallops, but still first up 1,400 on a very heavy is going to be difficult. Ballistic Boy has never been on a wet. He has won on a slightly soft track. The horse that I'm looking at having something on if we go ahead is good old Sylvie, the Rocky Cup winner from a couple of years ago. Mm. I reckon he's a duck, and I think he's going well. Andrew, he got onto a soft 6-7. It could have even touched an 8 in a jump out about 2 weeks ago over the 1,000 metres at Doomben, and it was a hot 1,000-metre trial. I thought, is that Sylvie? He was matching it with some of our better sprinters and actually finished slightly ahead of Tambo's Mate, appearing to be going equally as good. He's just a horse, I think, to win at this level these days. He needs a heavy. So if you're going a little bit wide in a trifecta, first four or the quaddy, make sure you put the grey in there, Silvera.
Well, you touched it right. Well, I was going to mention there, grey's on wet track, so yeah, well, you couldn't leave him out.
Nine times out of ten, yeah, they get through, they plough through the ground.
Do you want to mention anything about the Eureka, or do you want to wait to the morning there for race number eight? Any thoughts there?
Well, we'll just go back to race number four. We're talking about, you know, wet tracks first and foremost, and Look, there's two really good wet trackers lining up here. Minto's Paradise has been well backed, according to Gerard. And also War Daddy, the three-year-old trained by Chris Lees. I've just sided slightly with War Daddy because of the swing in the weights. He's got 56 on the very heavy, whereas Minto's Paradise has got 59. Both of them will really enjoy it. War Daddy, at his very first start, won by 5 lengths at Taree, leading on a heavy 8. And I thought he was terrific at Doomben last start, in a much harder race, finishing second behind Mimi Lagarde and put on the red light. He led, and when Kyle Wilson-Taylor went for him, he sort of he battled on strongly to be beaten in a very close finish there. So the fact that he's won on a heavy 8, I'm siding with him. Race number 5. Now, here's the duck of the day, Tamerlane number 5. Now, 16 horses can go to post here, but if we go ahead tomorrow, there's likely to be a number of scratchings. And I'm mentioning that because the smaller the field, the better the chance for Tamerlane, because he's got no tactical speed early, and we don't want him giving them too big a start. But last time he was first up, it was over the 1,300 metres here at the Gold Coast, field of 7. It was a heavy 10, and he absolutely blitzed them, coming from well off them, turning into the straight. He's from a Viscount Mary's by Adelaide. The wetter, the better for Tamerlane. And then I've just put race 6, number 10, more than number 1 in. Look, he's got a little bit of heavy form, placed on heavy over a year ago when I don't think he was going anywhere near as well as what he's going now. So I think if Michael Costa's happy enough to send him the post tomorrow, I want to be on him. Race 6, number 10, more than number 1. So it's 4-6 War Daddy, 5-5 Tamerlane, and then 6-10 more than number 1 at this stage. Andrew?
At this stage. Andrew, any early thoughts regarding the Eureka, or you wait till the morning if we're still going ahead?
Well, it's a great race, isn't it? Look, I have got to really get stuck into the form. I've got a little sneaky suspicion that Fleet Dove is going to go well, and she loves the wet horse, number 14. So I've got her marked on top of the moment. But there's not much between these fillies and mares. And I think once we have a look at the scratchings tomorrow morning and sift through the heavy track form, we'll be a little bit wiser. I mean, it all centres on Miami Fleiss. Listening to Tony on your program earlier today, it's unlikely that she'll start. But if this was a good track, clearly I'd be all over her like a rash. But at this point, probably Fleet Dove, who's at a big price at the moment, and maybe something each way on her.
Well, I certainly hope I am speaking to you in the morning, Michael, that's for sure. And thanks for your time as always this morning.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
There he is, Michael Maxworthy, 4x6, 5x5, 6x10, the early thoughts there. As we now, of course, go to New South Wales and Rose Hill, preparing for a wet track there today. And to look at that meeting, of course, it's a very good morning to Brad Gray. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm very well, thank you. And Rose Hill, the feature being the Festival Stakes.
Yeah, that's right. We're in for a bit of a wet day there, Rose Hill, aren't we? We've got to find our wet trackers. We're a heavy 10 at the moment. I think we'll be okay as far as actually racing, but you're certainly looking for those horses that'll be getting through the mud. One of my better bets comes up in the festival as well. I think we found one there.
All right. Before that, though, I think you're going to start in race 6, and Gerard Daffy just mentioning has been well supported to your selection here.
Yeah, no surprises. Media star guest for Ron Quinton. This horse is ticking over really nicely, this prep. If you have a little gaze at his sectionals this time back, they've been really encouraging. So I know his form and paper probably suggests that he isn't as airborne, but I think he's come back as well as ever. He's just been crueled by wide draws. One of those proved really costly last start because it was a slowly run race and he was just nowhere to be seen out the back. But on the clock, he was very, very strong. And we know from his past form, he loves wet tracks. He draws a middle peg here. He's a horse that can take up a spot, and I expect him to be significantly closer there tomorrow. And he'll be ploughing through the mud. I think this sets up really nicely for him to chalk up another win third up.
Race 6, number 9, Media Star Guest. And now the main event, of course, race 8, the Festival Stakes.
Yeah, me, Joe Bright, is a particularly strong hand in this. The leading contender for me, though, is Brutality. I know Ellsberg does have a little bit of wet form to his name as well, but at the odds, certainly in Brutality's corner. He absolutely loves the mud, this bloke. You look back through his form and he's won 5 races and they've all been on soft and heavy tracks. His run last time out suggested he's ready to go for me. He poked up the fence on a day where it was pretty hard to make ground at Newcastle there over 1,300 metres. Presents here at the top of his game, now third up, gets his best conditions. I think he can use the gate to maybe not be giving away a huge start. If he can just be worse in midfield, I think that's ideal. And the other thing to note here is the gear change. Blinkers on with the Joe Prize stable. That's such a signal of intent that suggests that it's go time. So I think if you've been following this prep, now's the time to maybe double down, because I think he can certainly win. The other runner that I didn't touch on there, but I did kind of pass, is Stockman for Joe Pride. I think if there's a really good roughie in the race, it's him, particularly if we do stay in that heavy 10 ground and it turns into a real slogathon. He doesn't have a turn of foot, but what he does is get through the wet, no troubles whatsoever, and I think he's come back pretty well as well on a sneaky little run there in the Hunter first up. So include him in your multiples, but I do think the brutality is the horse to beat.
Race 8, number 30 in the festival, over 1,500 metres. And then you're going to the last and virtually down to the final runner of the day.
Yeah, that's right. Secret Command for Chris Waller and Karen McElwood. Just the 53.5 on his back. I think he can be really forgiving of this horse's last three efforts. The two prior to last up speak for themselves. He just didn't get clear running, and he probably should have won with even luck. And then last time out, I know he copped a bit of criticism for not finishing the race off after he loomed to absolutely bolt in, but at Newcastle that day, it turned to be there was a really strong headwind. And for those runners that were exposed early in the straight, they just peaked on their run. You had to either be in front or cuddled up, and then exposed really late. That wasn't the case with him. So I want to go to the well again, particularly at the odds now that the market has dropped off him. He went around $4.40 in a very similar race. Here he is at about $11 the last time I looked. The wet track holds no fears. He's hard fit. I know he's drawn very wide on paper, but we're looking at the last race on a day where it's going to be a heavy 10. So maybe that wide draw a bit of a blessing. So happy to play him at the odds, race 10, number 16.
Okay, that's race 6, number 9, Media Star Guest, race 8, number 13, Brutale, race 10, number 16, Sacred Command. I'll be speaking to you again in the morning, Brad, and we'll be taking a more in-depth look at the meeting.
Thanks, Andrew. Stay dry.
I certainly will. Okay, there he is, Brad Gray from Racing New South Wales, and his thoughts there at Rose Hill, 6x9, 8x13, 10x16. Looking forward to the City of Marion meeting there at Morpheville tomorrow, and a very good morning to Ben Scadden. How are you, Ben?
G'day, Andrew. Yeah, very well. And the City of Marion is an impossible race.
Impossible.
Feels like there are about 14 chances in it. I might have a crack at a couple of big odds, but gee, it's a tough race. Incredibly even.
It certainly is, and it's not one of your specials. Well, just got an early thought, just how you trying to assess it anyway.
I think Second Slip will be really hard to beat. If I'm going to back one at really big odds, then I'll probably be on Magna Bella. She'll be $50, I reckon, drawn 16 in a really even field. And Outlaw's Revenge is another one at a little bit of a price that I might have a look at as well.
All right, that's the feature, race 8, the listed City Marion over the 1,200. But you're going to begin early in the program?
Yeah, race 3. So it's an interesting start to the day. We've got a first race is a two-year-old where none of them has raced at this stage. The second race is a three-year-old maiden where only a few have had a start. So race 3 is the first one where we see some legitimate form. And I'm pretty keen on one here that's only had a couple of runs for David Jolly, a four-year-old mare by Nakoni. She's, like I said, only had the two starts, made a debut back in late October at Murray Bridge. She ran really well that day, made good ground from a fair way back in a pretty solid two-year-old maiden race, that one. Then she came out and spanked them at Murray Bridge on November 10th. So it was a bit over two weeks ago. She won that really convincing one by four lengths, was back early, moved onto the speed, and she just powered away, one really convincing. I think it seems like she's got a lot of upside. Carly Crowther on board, drawn barrier 4. Pretty keen on her at maybe around about the $4 mark or so.
Yeah, I saw David interview it after that race. Of course, she's a four-year-old mare, and the owner's been very, very patient.
Yeah, you couldn't get much more patient than that, could you? But they've been rewarded pretty quickly.
Race 3, number 8, and then off to the following event, race number 4.
Yeah, that's right. And again, there are a couple I like in this. I think that Keep Reading will be very hard to beat, the bottom weight. But I also like Smoke and Bow in this race. And at the price, she's one I'll be pretty happy to be on. She's a very talented mare, this one. Look, her record says she's had 13 starts for one win, 6 placings. But she's raced in a lot of really nice races. She went to Melbourne. John O'Connor took her to Melbourne. Didn't have a whole lot of luck over there. But she raced okay. And again, I think this is obviously significantly easier. Barrier 1 is going to be interesting for her. If Jason Holder can kick her out early so she settles up on the speed. Look, I think she'll take a huge amount of beating on the Parks track if she can happen to be up near the speed somewhere. Again, at around about the $6 price, I'm really keen to have an each way go on her smoke and bow.
Race 4, number 9, and then we go to race 6.
Yeah, race 6 is an interesting race. So 2,500 metre races can end up being pretty ho-hum affairs where we basically see the same horses racing against each other every couple of weeks. But look, there's one that's relatively new to the ranks called Wertheimer, horse for Michael Hickmont. Obviously, Michael's one of our leading trainers over here, former Kiwi. He's got a really good record with these kind of horses. Look, started first up in a 1,500 metre race. It was a $4 chance and, look, couldn't make ground on the park track that day, the 1,500 metres. Raced okay, but nothing special. Then went to a much softer race at Gawler and won very convincingly that day as an odds-on chance, won by 3.5 lengths. Again, significantly easier race than this one. But, look, Jess Eaton, the stable jockey's on board here. I think this horse is an out-and-out stayer, 2,500 metres by Tavistock. Ticks a few boxes for me, 54 kilos I like as well. Yeah, I think he's a promising staying type, and I think tomorrow will be a really good indicator of exactly where he's at and just what kind of races Michael Hickmont can set him toward. But, yeah, to me, he seems like a real stayer. 2,500 metres is a big tick.
Putting your faith in a staying event. Race 6 at number 7, Wertheimer there. And just before wrapping up, your specials, of course, Lee Creek, stepping Royal Mile up in class. They're taking it to Melbourne.
Yeah, and racing really well, that horse as well, Royal Mile. Jakey Ockham on the board, who knows the horse very well. He's a lovely horse, Royal Mile. He knows how to find the line. He's got a real competitive spirit. He's come back in lovely shape, and, yeah, Look, he's the kind of horse to be competitive in pretty much anything he goes in, I think. He, regardless of class, I think he's just got the capacity to step up. He can tick along at a really solid tempo as well. He's strong. He's got that nice little turn of foot as well. Yeah, he's a really nice horse. Be interested to see how he goes tomorrow.
Yeah, race 8, number 10, the Royal Mile in Eclipse Stakes at Caulfield. But thanks for that, Ben. Race 3, number 8, Huntley Lady. Race 4, number 9, Smoke and Val. Race 6, number 7, Wertheimer.
There it. Thanks, Andrew.
And have fun doing dissecting that form in the city of Marion.
Yeah, could take me a while.
Good on you. Thank you.
Cheers. See ya.
Ben Scadden there from Adelaide. And, of course, they're racing back again at Hobart on Sunday. And for his thoughts on that meeting, very good morning to Colin McNiff. How are you, Colin?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andrew.
That's good. Before discussing that, of course, a bit of an exclusive there on Wednesday night with racing during Launceston with Adam Trinder.
Yeah, announcing that they may be about to retire Mystic Journey. The conversation still has to be had with Wayne Roser and Adam, but I would think the fact that Adam went public with it in a post-race interview that it's more than likely that she has run her last race. There's just been nothing about for her. He even contemplated taking her across to Western Australia for the Railway Stakes, but it was just all too hard to get transport across there, and there's no races at the moment for her, so it's either keep her up for another prep or perhaps sell her or keep her and put her to a good stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. How's the weather looking for Hobart on Sunday at this stage?
Yeah, not too bad. We've got the odd shower around, but, not too much rain to speak of. I think the track should play pretty well on Sunday.
A couple of GGs in your early thoughts. We begin with race 2.
Number 1, GG Sunshine. I really like the way this youngster finished off in the first two-year-old race of the season a fortnight ago. He balanced up and really attacked the line, I think, with that experience under his belt. He finished fourth on that occasion. He should appreciate the extra 100 metres of the race on Sunday. So, you really like the way he hit the line. GG Sunshine, race 2, number 1.
Race 2, number 1. Then going across to race number 6.
And this will be a bit of odds, I think, Words of Pride. It hasn't been seen since late August, but she trialled recently. That was in Launceston. It was probably close to 4 weeks ago now, but it was a really nice trial. She's lightly raced. She's only had 11 starts for 4 wins. And Taya Stalker, who outrode her 4-kilo claim on Wednesday night, has the ride. So Taya's riding in good form. Scotty Brunton will be looking for a winner. Words of Pride in race 6.
Race 6, and just on that, was Taya already engaged? Because it's still saying a 4-kilo claim here for Sunday.
I would think both Taya and Taylor Johnston, who both outrode their 4-kilo claims, would still be able to on Sunday because, these riding engagements would have been done prior to that meeting being run.
Race 6, number 7, and in the next race, race 7.
Gigi Lucky Jess. She was scratched from Launceston on Wednesday night, and I think that might be the right move. At her most recent start up in Lonnie, she came home from the tail of the field. She didn't get an inside run, but she was back second or third last coming down the side. Really hit the line well. Siggy Carr hooked it to the centre of the track about 100 metres out when she eventually got clear and really attacked the line nicely. So I think Gigi Lucky Jess can be winning in race 7, horse number 5.
Race 7 at number 5, I think you mentioned the other night too. I think Siggy Carr's becoming the like the William Pike in Tasmania back in the first race.
First race, Siggy. Yeah, yeah, I think she's done about 3 out of the last 4 meetings in recent times. So, yeah, it used to be Brenda McCool. Brenda McCool used to be a safe bet first race every weekend, but now it's Siggy who seems to have taken that honour.
I look forward to previewing that meeting with you on Sunday morning, Colin. Race 2, number 1, race 6, number 7, and race 7, number 5.
No worries. Thanks, Andrew.
There he is, Colin McNiff, and wrapping up our Get Set for today.